My name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and I take notes. Today's notes are from the council meeting on December 10th, 2025. I have one note before we get started. I will not cover the pop-off in these notes, but it did happen. First, I'll go over the monthly financial report. Controller Chris Hollins and Finance Director Melissa Dubowski both gave their respective reports. Controller Hollins predicts an ending fund balance of $336.8 million, which is $17.5 million lower than the finance department's. And for those of you that don't know, the ending fund balance is like the city's savings account. Hollins criticized the state's decision to dismantle the historically underutilized business program, which supported small minority and women-owned businesses. Hollins said this will definitely undermine Houston's economy. Director Dubowski predicts an ending fund balance of $354 million, which is $45 million lower than last month. This variance is primarily due to a $52.6 million decrease in property tax because of the property tax rate they adopted earlier this year. Now I'll go over the quick mayor's report. Mayor Whitmire lamented the recent death of Dr. Rod Page, and he shared condolences for his loved ones. Whitmire said Dr. Page was a respected educator and a mentor to many of us, and the first Black U.S. Secretary of Education. He also said, quote, HISD wasn't on the front page back when Rod was the superintendent. Now here's a selection of the agenda items. Items 2, 3, and 4 appointed people to the Energy Corridor, Braze Oaks, and Hobby Management Districts. Item 7 approved the 2026 budget of $72 million for the Greater Harris County 911 Emergency Network, and this was about an increase of about $8 million from 2025. Councilmember Kamen advocated for a larger share of the total budget to be paid for by the county, a practice which would align with other large cities. Item 8 approved the 2026 budget of $145 million for Houston First Corporation, the city's destination marketing organization. Item 9 approved $2.5 million in fees to Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, or short TCEQ, as they are colloquially known. Item 13 approved $194,000 for four new Toyota Highlander hybrid vehicles for the police department. And the city used the asset forfeiture fund for this. Item 14 approved $998,000 to upgrade the fire department's public safety radio systems. Item 20 approved $15 million over 5 years for trash and recycling carts. Item 25 approved the sale of city-owned land in Brookshire to Waller County for $19.7 million. And this was a rare revenue-generating item. The city purchased the land for potential airport use, but decided not to pursue that. So Waller County is purchasing the land to turn it into stormwater detention and parkland. Item 27 approved $500,000 to upgrade the city's existing security network infrastructure, aka video cameras. Councilmember Kamen supported this item, but advocated for updating the accompanying policy, which has not been updated since 2021. Items 27 through 32 all funded various tech upgrades, like moving data storage to a cloud system and updating records management, all totaling about $16 million. Item 39 approved an additional $1.2 million for the firm that provides legal services to the airports. Item 41 approved the $1.3 million purchase of a parcel of land owned by Gospel Hill Baptist Church for a drainage project in District B. Item 44 approved $17.9 million for upgrades at the East Water Purification Plant. Item 46 would have approved $5.4 million for several projects, including the overlay of Patterson Street in District C, but Councilmember Kamen tagged it. She said that surrounding communities engaged for 4 years, but it has been on pause for 2 years. She said this came up again without notice, and they are unclear of changes to the plan. She stressed the need to notify district council members and the affected community when changes to plans have been made, and she wants more time to evaluate this plan and make sure it still aligns with the community's needs. The following items were not voted on for various reasons. Items 5 and 12 were pulled by the administration. Item 40 was not received. Item 46 was tagged, which I explained earlier. Now I'll go over item 50 in more detail, which had to do with apartment inspection reform being delayed again. Councilmember Plummer has been working on an ordinance to tackle apartment inspection reform for 6 years. She used Prop A to finally bring it to council on November 5th. Prop A allows a coalition of three council members to put items on the agenda without the mayor's approval. After heated debate, that version of the ordinance was voted down and sent back to the administration for more work. A new version was aired today. Mayor Whitmire first praised Councilmember Plummer for her work on this ordinance and said he was sorry she had to wait 6 years. He remarked on people living in terrible conditions and said it's some of the same population that's hiding from authorities that have no choice but to live in these conditions, end quote. He said he understands the urgency and doesn't want to delay, but suggested referring the item back to the administration again to be heard at a joint economic development and a housing committee meeting. Councilmember Plummer said she's pleased with how the ordinance is shaping up. Regarding changes, she said the ordinance creates high-risk designation, mandatory corrective timelines, documented repairs, follow-up inspections, real tangible penalties for landlords who are repeatedly doing the wrong thing, and she said it protects tenants without raising rents. She was on board with referring it back to the administration for more work. She said she would attend every meeting in January as an audience member, and that she hopes for a unanimous vote when the item comes back. Councilmember Kamen asked for a date when this item will be brought back for a vote. She cited deplorable conditions at an apartment complex in District C to emphasize the need for urgency. Mayor Whitmire would not commit to a date, and he encouraged trust in the chairs of the committees to expedite the process. Councilmember Alcorn praised Plummer for looking out for the least of us. She said Houston has the highest percentage of people living in poverty and that it is council members' role to look out for them. Councilmember Plummer also asked for a date when the ordinance will come back for a vote, and she initially suggested mid-January. Mayor Whitmire remained vague. He said to trust the administration and the committees to expedite, and he said public engagement should not be rushed. Plummer then suggested a motion to bring the item back for a vote 30 days after the committee hearing, with the committee hearing date TBD and TBA by the administration. Whitmire told her it's not fair or proper to tell two experienced, committed council members how to run their committee, and said they would get it done as soon as possible. Plummer responded, "I just don't think that's good enough." She said it's not unreasonable to ask for a timeline for when it will be brought back. Whitmire said, again, quote, "I don't think it's reasonable to tell two committed, experienced colleagues how to run their committee." As the back and forth continued, the mayor accused Plummer of being too busy on the campaign trail to work with his administration on this. Plummer, sounding aggrieved, said, "Don't be ugly." She told the mayor that he was rude and he needed to apologize. The mayor refused to apologize. He spoke over her repeatedly and finally just called for a vote on her motion to bring the item back 30 days after a committee meeting, which passed. The vote to refer the item back to the administration also passed, with only Councilmember Pollard voting no. I will also go over item 51 in more detail, which covered evening public comment sessions. In July, Councilmember Castillo used Prop A for a pilot program to hold the last public comment session of every month in the evening. Today, Councilmember Castillo proposed to make the evening public comment meetings permanent, with a few additions. Evening meetings will start at 5 p.m. rather than 6 p.m., no proclamations at evening meetings to speed up the night, and no evening meetings on weeks when meetings are consolidated because of holidays. Councilmember Flickinger proposed an amendment for the evening meetings to be quarterly rather than monthly. He said, quote, "The vast majority of speakers have been pretty much the same people that we have during the day," end quote. And he suggested reducing evening meetings will relieve staffing burdens. Councilmember Castillo said evening public comment meetings have been pretty popular. He said there's been an average of 80 speakers per evening meeting, with the highest at 105 speakers. He disagreed with Councilmember Flickinger regarding evening versus daytime speakers and said, from my recollection, that hasn't been the case. Councilmember Kamen said District C residents support evening meetings and advocated for virtual options to increase accessibility. She encouraged consideration of holidays. For instance, next week is Hanukkah, a holiday observed in the evenings. She suggested a later start time on the mornings after evening public comment. She said, quote, "The success of this is a testament to the fact that residents want more engagement from the city." Councilmember Alcorn said evening public comment has been overwhelmingly successful and that she prefers to err on the side of more public engagement. She supports sticking to a monthly schedule. Councilmember Castix Tatum, a strong opponent of evening meetings, remained unenthused. She encouraged virtual options, and she said that one senior who came to evening public comment had to pay $100 for an Uber due to surge pricing. Councilmember Martinez favors quarterly evening meetings due to his desire to attend civic club meetings. He said it's important for him to be out in the community. Councilmember Peck also advocated for quarterly meetings due to civic club and PIP meetings. Councilmember Huffman was pro quarterly meetings, supported a virtual option, and complained about budget constraints reducing security for evening sessions. She said that she and Councilmember Peck were followed into the parking garage by two men after one evening session who were ultimately harmless, but asked, what if something different happened? Councilmember Davis supported quarterly meetings, also citing safety concerns. Councilmember Evan Shabazz pushed for a virtual engagement option as well. Flickinger's amendment to change evening public comment meetings to quarterly rather than monthly ultimately failed 8-9. The main item, which codified permanent evening public comment sessions once per month, passed unanimously. And that was the Houston City Council meeting on December 10th, 2025. You can find the resources I used to compile these notes on my website, which is emilytakesnotes.com. And that is also where the notes themselves live, if you decide you would rather read than listen. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. We use that money to keep the podcast edition of the notes afloat. That link is patreon.com/emilytakesnotes if anyone listening would like to help us with that effort. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wozni. It was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.